Welcome to the KNEL Radio Podcast, your podcast for news, sports, music, and talk radio. KNEL Radio Podcast is your resource to local news and sports from the heart of Texas and the Texas Hill Country. Join us weekly for a Hillbilly Hits radio show highlighting traditional country music and artists. And At Home with Debbie Rule, a talk show about home, family, and relationships. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference in your life today.
Honorable Mayor of the City of Brady, Tony Groves, is with us this morning. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Howdy. How are you?
I am well. I am well today.
Beautiful day out there. A little bit nippy.
A little bit, but it's going to get better. It's 54 degrees this morning, but going to be 71 degrees this afternoon. That's pretty nice. Then,
yep.
Do you know there are some parts of Texas, weather report this morning, they were saying could reach 100 down around Brownsville today. I'm not ready for that. I'm ready for the cold to stop, but I'm not ready for that. But I guess I better get that way.
Yeah. We were in the 90s yesterday, though.
Yeah, that's true. We were. That's true. Well, Mayor, the Brady City Council met for a regular session last night. And what did we do?
We had a pretty full agenda, but it went very quickly. Started at 6 o'clock as prescribed time to do that, started with the invocation and pledge of allegiance. Only public comments actually related to one of our individual concerns items. So with that person was polite enough to sit through the entire meeting to make her comments as the last individual item that we looked at. Consent agenda, to save a little bit of time, was just the approval of the minutes, and then the approval for a noise variance out at Brady Lake on the 24th and 25th of June for the Bradshaw family reunion out there. So both of those were approved with one motion, 4-0. We only had four council members present, along with the mayor last night. Two presentations, one for the fiscal year 21 audit report by Haney and Company. That went well. No real questions on anything that was there. A couple of, did I hear that number right kind of thing, but no problems with the budget. And then we had the proclamation for the National Life Month for donations of organs, tissues, and blood. And for anybody that might be curious, how does City of Brady declare a national donation Life Month? Actually, we didn't. We declared National Donation Life Month in Brady, Texas.
In Brady, Texas, that's right.
For that, but it is official. There is a Texas registry where you can sign up to donate, and one of the points made in the proclamation is just last year, in 2021, an additional 770,000 people signed up for the to get on the donor list for either organs, bone marrow, tissues, or blood donations. So very significant. That registry maintains a webpage where you can go and put the cursor on any county in the state of Texas, and it tells you the percentage of people in that county that have signed up for the registry. And it's kind of a rough cut since they don't look at the few exceptions that mm-hmm. don't allow you, but it's interesting that as the need for organs and tissue and blood goes up, sometimes they relax those restrictions a little bit. I used to give a lot of blood, and then I was stationed in Europe at the wrong time when mad cow disease was a problem
yeah.
in the UK, and they just did a blanket. If you were ever in Europe, even eventually it got down to if you were there for one day, you were not allowed to donate blood. And now I understand that they backed off of that. But side statement there for all that. But worthy cause for folks to look into and sign up for and see if you can help people out. They point out that one person could donate organs and tissue to eight different people if they chose to do that when they passed on. And when you donate blood, you're actually helping three different people based on the way they deal with all that. Next item was public hearing. We did not have any public hearings for that meeting last night, but we started in on 13 items on the individual concern. They all went fairly quickly. They were all 4-0 votes as we went through that. We tabled one because of a question, and then during a break, we got that question answered, so we picked it up back after the executive session. So we started off with discussion, consideration, and possible action to award the purchase of a 2019 Volvo pneumatic roller from Associated Supply Company Incorporated in Angelo. This is one of those things that helps you. In this case, it's all on tires, and it helps you flatten out the work that you do on potholes, for instance. And then the next item dealt with, after the council said, yeah, we want to buy this, then we approved Resolution 2022-8 to enter into a financial contract with the government capital for the purpose of procuring that 2019 Volvo pneumatic roller for the $61,500. Moved on to the third one, which was discussion, consideration, and possible action to award the purchase of a F-650 gas engine, medium-duty truck and chassis to make it into a dump truck to as a backup. I'm sorry, as a primary truck. We're going to get that from Cavender or Grindy in San Antonio to the tune of, I'll pick that up on the next one here.
Yeah.
So we approved that 4-0, as I said, and then the next one was approving Resolution 2022-9 to finance the contract with government capital for the procuring of that F-650 gas engine dump truck for $76,755. Now, the numbers fluctuate a little bit on all of these because the trade-in value and then the warranty value, the warranty can't go into the financing. It goes into the operational use of the vehicle. So the numbers bounce back and forth just a little bit. It's in there a few thousand dollars. The fifth item, discussion, consideration, and possible action authorizing the award and purchase of a residential trash truck with Freightliner of Austin, Texas, in the amount of $206,527, approved 4-0. Next was the resolution 2022-10 to enter into a financial contract with the government capital for the purpose of procuring a 2023 Freightliner residential trash truck for that $206,527.
Brand new, fresh off the lot trash truck.
As a matter of fact, I think they built it for you.
Well, that's a good point.
If they mentioned the delivery date, I don't recall when it was.
Yeah.
But that's typical of fire trucks and large
ambulances
like
and
that.
And, you know, no, it's, a trash truck is not your ordinary vehicle.
No,
And, not at all.
I assume that all of these were basically in the budget for this fiscal year. There's no surprise involved in it. These were planned purchases. Knew they were coming, and it's part of the executing the plan.
And most of them came in below the amount that was budgeted for them, which gave us the capability as we got to one or two in here that was slightly over the budgeted amount to we could move that money from one to the other and take care of it. Now, the item that we initially tabled was discussion, consideration, and possible action authorizing the award and purchase of a 2022 Ford F-250 pickup with the Heart of Texas Ford here in Brady in the amount of $675.67. That discussion on the size of the truck, it was replacing a 150, and so we tabled that, and then the city manager did a little bit of work in our break, and we came back and picked that up and approved that with resolution 2022-11 to enter in again a financial contract with Government Capital for the purpose of procuring that truck for $39,675.67. The difference in this one was we had the cash on hand from the previous budget items, which allowed us to pay that difference in cash, if you will, kind of a down payment on the truck, so that we could finance it for what we originally agreed to in our budget for the coming year. As we worked that, the monthly payments would fit inside what we had already planned. Next, discussion to set a seasonal membership fee for the Brady Municipal Golf Course. As we looked at some of the situations for youth and college students on the golf course, some discussion was initiated in the past and completed last night about extending the youth fees through college students. If they had a student ID card for any college that they were still enrolled in, virtual or in place, junior college or four-year college, they could use the youth fee, which would allow them to save the money and not have to have a year-long adult or the modified fee that existed right there. So good deal for the young golfers and the people on golf teams and things that come home in the summertime and maybe come home on a weekend to play as part of that too. Then we had a discussion, consideration, and possible action, approving resolution 2022-7, extending the use permit agreement for G. Raleigh White Downs by and between the City of Brady and the McCulloch County Junior Livestock Association. That was extended 5 years to the end of December 2027 to allow that to continue. A little bit of a question on that, as the Friends of G. Raleigh White are still trying to work that lease. That portion of the agreement is actually the small unit that's over closer to the creek and not back in the main part of the G. Raleigh White complex. And if that becomes a conflict as we firm up the activities with Friends of G. Raleigh White and that business area, then we'll work that problem. But we extended that for 5 more years. Then item K was discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance Number 1336 of the City of Brady, adopting a zoning change from Industrial District to Commercial District, as requested by Deborah Lovano, for the property located at 105 West Pierce Street. Now, if you don't know where Pierce Street is, like I didn't, as you are headed north on Bridge Street and you cross the bridge, there is a very short little street on your left, and that is Pierce Street, and it's the property between that street and the bluff that goes down to the creek. There were three lots, actually, that were there that were requested to go from industrial to commercial, and we had approved that 5-0 at the previous council meeting, and we approved with all 4 members that were present last night, voting members that were present last night. That was approved. So done deal on the zoning change, and the Planning and Zoning Commission had reviewed that, and on the 8th of March, early or prior to the council taking any action on this, the Planning and Zoning Commission had looked at that and recommended approval to make the change. Now, the next item, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1337, City of Brady, adopting a zoning change from industrial to commercial, as requested by Deborah again, for the property adjacent to that previous property right there on Pierce Street, to allow her to set up a commercial business right there in the buildings that are there. That was approved 4-0. The last item on the list, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding adding a fence around the rose bushes that have been planted in Richards Park. We took this to the council, even though typically a change like that to the park would not be brought up to the council for approval. We didn't want council members to drive by Richards Park and see a new 8-foot fence that's there to keep the deer from eating the rose bushes, and having people ask them why the fence is there. We preemptively dealt with that problem by asking for their consideration and thoughts. Unanimously, they agreed that was a great idea. They thanked the person involved in bringing that up, as well as the 2 donors that paid for the fence, and the council agreed that we would put some kind of a plaque on the sliding gate to that 8-foot fence that they would say this fence was proposed to protect the rose bushes from the deer by that person, and the funds for the fence were donated by 2 individuals that covered that for us. So we finished that at 7:17. So we were going right along with just 1 hour and 17 minutes into that. We took a break until 7:31 to grab some sandwiches that we had as we went on into the executive session that was there. We picked up that executive session at 7:31, as I said, and the executive session was pursuant to Section 551.074, Personnel Matters. City Council met to deliberate the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of a public officer or employee, You have to read that whole statement by the rules of the Texas Open Meetings Act to explain to people what you're going to do. You don't do all of those things. Typically, one of those items is covered in to protect the executive session part of that in confidentiality, whether that be personnel records or monetary competition with different actions that are being taken. You do have to get a little bit more specific in that you you talk about the very general topic, and for us, we listed that as the acting city manager, and we covered that in just about 8 minutes to get that squared away. We came back into open session at 7:40, finished off that item that we had tabled, and then at 7:46, we came back at 7:40 and announced that we were taking no action associated with the executive session, and at 7:46, we closed the open session after the executive session and then adjourned at 7:47.
Okay. All right.
Pretty smooth.
Pretty smooth.
A few people attended. Of course, the auditors were there, and and we had a couple of folks there, including Sharon, who was there to work on the, and explain the fence to the council as part of that.
We're going to put a plaque up. Who are the people who are the benefactors and make the rosebush, the fence around the rosebush is a reality?
You know, I don't think we actually had that in the paperwork.
Okay.
I was told who those folks were. I remember one of them and don't remember the other. So I'll not even mention
All right, we'll go there.
I remember. It wouldn't be fair to the other person, but it was two prominent individuals here in McCullough County in the city, and with a desire to protect the those rose bushes that are kind of down in the corner. At one point, we thought they were going to be next to the big stone flower basket, or the old fish pond that has the evergreens in it now. But it was the corner back over close to Memory Lane, right in that pocket where there's a slight depression there, where they are working to beautify that. And a couple of council members applauded the efforts to for the beautification of the park with those rose bushes.
Okay. I think that's a great idea. And yeah, it's a good idea to protect them.
Yes.
Because no shortage of deer.
There was a little bit of discussion of whether an eight-foot fence was
enough.
High enough, but consensus was that it would do the job. My opinion is if there are any deer that can jump that eight-foot fence and get inside, they probably don't have enough room inside to get the speed up to jump out.
To get out, that's right.
So they may have a feast while they're there, but they will be released when somebody opens it. But I think eight-foot fence at that location is probably going to make it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, we appreciate you coming in. And things percolating along with the city. It's kind of interesting thing, especially, you know, the purchase of the equipment, sort of seeing the whole, you know, the budget plan come about. And
to compliment the folks that worked those issues, some years ago we decided on looking at the typical life of those kinds of vehicles in setting a pre-planned, don't run it till it collapses, but recycle it when you've got some value left in it that you save some money when you buy the new one, buy the trade-in.
Speaking of running things until they fall apart, where do we stand on the two big projects the city has going? We had, I'm not sure you've been in, and we've talked about the visit by the people from the Texas Water Development Board here a couple of weeks ago.
That went very well. They were very pleased, and those are good friends to have in this day and age, people on the Water Development Board. So they got their tour of the facility. We had a little bit of finger food for them in a great visit. There was a videographer that came in early and did an interview on the steps of the City Hall with the mayor, and then took some video of the actual event that was out there. But the two major projects, the characterization by Stephen Miller was they're pouring lots of concrete down for the clean water, read that as the sewer plant, and that is still moving along to be completed early in 2023, very early in 2023. And we got the good news yesterday that the critical point that we've been struggling with is the elevated storage tank out at Curtis Field, right there behind the main hangar and adjacent to the road. It got all wrapped up in what everybody thought was the proper clearances to do that, since the city owned it and since it had been approved in a plan that we could put that elevated storage tank there. But as the FAA got involved in the rules of using land, even though you own it, inside an airport that's supported by TxDOT Aviation and the FAA, that you have to get permission to use that for a non-aviation purpose. And yesterday we were on the official registry where that is advertised for any comments, which was the next to last hurdle that we have to go through. That'll be there for 30 days, then a short period as they compile anything that they get, and then they will, FAA will approve, TxDOT will approve, and we'll be able to build that elevated storage tank out there that'll look very much like the one on the way to the lake out there, and will be responsible for good water pressure on the north side of town as we go through that. And whenever I ask the question, they still say November completion of at this year, while they do admit some caveats that there may be a punch list that will stretch a little bit into, but it should be a functioning system before the end of this year.
That's
which will be great.
That's great news. Really is. See both those projects moving ahead. And the folks from the Texas Water Development Board were very, very, have been super, you know, make all this happen. And recognizing all the.
And, you know, just.
Very complimentary when they were here.
Acknowledge that EHT, the designers and overseers, as the overall contractor, continues to complete all of that. You still see an awful lot of stuff out there that has to be complete. As we went through the timeline to do all of that, the landowners that we had to cross their land with transmission pipes, We had made agreements that we would not interfere with the hunting seasons that were there. So there have been some downtimes that were planned to take care of that. And then we'll crank back up on that and get those things done, hopefully before any of that kind of work, before deer season in the fall. Yeah. And then we'll get the last of it finished and get water that has the iron removed from it, which will take away the sometimes dingy look of the water and the iron taste that's in the water. And it will remove the radionuclides down to an incredibly small level. The good news is, excuse me, the good news is the medium that is in the vessels that we pass the water through to get the radionuclides out came in less expensive than was planned. And just to remind everybody that those kettles that are there inside the building that we used from the old clean water plant, drinking water plant, tap water, there was space in there to add the iron removal as well as the radionuclide removal and still have a bank of reverse osmosis filters in there for potentially treating with lake water if mm-hmm. we chose to do that. So we anticipate there will be no increase. I asked that question and got the answer back from our finance department that they don't see an increase in the cost of your water as we start paying for that medium to remove the radionuclides. And they bring that in, they put it in the kettles, the company that does this, WRT, and as it begins to get saturated, which should take 1 to 3 years, and it's constantly tested to see, to make sure it's being efficiently done, they will drain those into a special tanker and then take that to a disposal area. Mm-hmm. That's not something we have to worry about. Probably outside the United States, low-level radiation storage area. And then we'll flush that back out, run that through the new medium that's in the vessels, and be back in full operation with no interruption to service to the users of water. That should give us the capability with bigger pipes, better pressure with the two elevated storage tanks to allow some of those businesses/industries that have wanted to add to the south and to the north of the city, the water pressure and the water volume to be able to do that. Planned ahead, we have 6 wells with lots of approved water that we can remove from the Hickory Aquifer, much, much more than our peak demands has ever been up to this point. And our treatment plant covers much, much more than yeah. we've peaked at before. So we've planned ahead and looking forward to getting those major things done and seeing the impact of that for citizens of Brady.
So we're all looking forward to Christmas.
Yep.
Christmas.
Be a
special Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
That's right. Mayor, thank you very much. I appreciate you being with us this morning. Give us a rundown on the council session and also on the where we stand on the water. It's a big issue. And a big
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.